The Nick Scott Effect.
The Nick Scott Effect.
Available everywhere podcasts are found.
I'm good. I tell my old lady I ain't coming home tonight, so I'm straight.
We'll just start right there. How about that? Are you married now? Did you get married?
I'm getting married next year, man. Well, we've been together for 15 years, really 20 years off and on, like 20. Since I moved here, I've been doing what I'm supposed to do with her. You know what I'm saying? But it's off and on, man. But I'm definitely, I was Nick. I was the guy. I didn't believe in marriage because there's just a lot of stuff that come with it. All my brothers got a divorce, and I didn't want to lose my best friend. I didn't want to lose somebody that I really love for a piece of paper that, you know what I'm saying, that I don't want to lose you over that. We can be we can be the best of friends, and we ain't got to argue because we married. I don't believe in arguments. Like, me and my old lady rarely have an argument. If we do, it's on me. It's on me to squash it before we go to sleep, and we move on, because the next day ain't guaranteed to none of us. I don't care who you are, and we're just going to keep it moving, man. We're going to keep it pushing because we love each other so much. I'm not going to argue with you today. Then we're going to keep that argument going tomorrow, then the next day and the next day. That's not how I move.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you're blessed to be able to marry your best friend, and that's a story I tell folks with Kelly and I. You know, when I moved to West Virginia in 2006, I was seeing a girl, and you know, long distance doesn't work. We had a relationship in Cincinnati. I moved to Charleston. She moved to wherever Auburn University is in Alabama. She went to school down there. And quickly thereafter, I met another West Virginia girl that was one of those I should have never done. You've had a few of those, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. But that ended very badly. You know what it is.
Yeah. It ended very badly. So I tell you that because of that breakup, through a mutual friend, I met Kelly. And we just started off like in a same circle of friends. And then we just became acquaintances and then buddies. And then she was that, you know, chick that would go out with all of us when we went out hanging out. And then we became really good friends and cookouts and everything. And then I remember one day I had started dating this other chick and it went badly. And I remember driving over the 64 bridge there where McCorkle Avenue is in South Charleston. I lived in Dunbar at the time. And I looked over where her apartment was. And I remember thinking to myself, man, if I was just over there with Kelly, my life would be really good. And it was at that moment I realized, shit, I love her. And I remember I called her the next day and I was like, are you interested? And she's like, yeah. And I got to marry my best friend. So it's a pretty cool feeling to have. So congratulations.
Thank you, bro. It's funny how it play out, bro. It plays out, actually plays out the way God planned it to play out. We just don't know how that plan is going to be. So once we see the writing on the wall, we'll be like, holy shit, this is what you was telling me. But all radio guys are hard-headed, and we just hard-headed, bro. We can see the signs on the wall. It could be right in front of our face. We're going to go this way or that way before it hit us in our damn forehead. We're like, oh, there it is.
Hi, buddy. My boy, Dad. Just walked in. Yeah. You want to say hi? This is Mr. Woody right here. Say hi, Woody.
Hello.
He said hi, Woody.
Hello.
Oh, now my daughter has to say hi. Come say hi. That's Woody right there.
Hi.
Yeah.
Oh, she's getting big, Nick.
Isn't she?
She's wow.
Yeah, it's breaking Daddy's heart, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just thankful she doesn't look like me. She's got her mama's looks.
Beautiful, brother. Beautiful, man.
All right, honey, let me finish up. Will you shut that door for me? Thank you. Yeah, it's a blessing. I got two. How many little ones you got now? Two or three, don't you?
Man, I got two at my home, and I got three in Indiana. So I got five total. And dang, one grandchild.
Woo.
Yeah, baby. Papa was a rolling stone. You feel me? Wherever he laid his hat was his home. But Nick, I always wanted 10. I wanted 10 kids, Nick. My granddad had 10 kids. I wanted 10 kids. And always my mind is, if you can take care of them, have them. Now, my kids, they, you know how they get expensive now. They just like toys. It's iPads and wireless headphones. I can't afford them no more, so I'm done. It is what it is. It stopped me.
Yeah. Well, what blew my mind with having kids was the price of daycare. It wasn't until my daughter went into daycare. My wife's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be this $100-something a week. And I was like, you mean a month? She goes, no, a week. And I was like, wait. And I started doing math. I'm like, that is more than I paid in rent at my first apartment. Like,
I pay $800 a month in daycare. That's what I pay.
Hey, one thing with you, with our paths, you know, we got to know each other as competitors. I was on top 40 station. You were on a rhythmic top 40 station. And our paths kind of were linear in Charleston. You were in the DJ scene, still are. I am as well. And one thing that always fascinates me about people's story is there's always a beginning. So where did you realize, like, I want to go into radio, I want to be a DJ? Because it seems like we all have that moment where we're like, I want to do that, and they just turned on a light. Can you turn that light off?
Your kids like mine. They have a good time together, Nick. I'm trying to tell you.
But well, it messes my lighting up when they do that. And a big, like, shiny spot on this big white dome of mine. You know?
You about to have a beach ball up through the shot now. Yeah. Watch. It's something going to fly over your head. But Nick, mine started off, bro. I always wanted to do sports. I wanted to do sports. I wanted to be Stuart Scott. I wanted to be the guy to bring hip-hop to sports. But I'm not a TV guy. I did TV in high school. I went through that whole production. My sports in high school was unmatched. I wish they had YouTube back then.
Oh, wow.
I'm bringing all the flavor to it. Like, I would literally wake up in the morning, watch ESPN from 5 to 7. They replay it. Wow. Replay. I will record it now. I'm telling my age.
Sports Center?
SportsCenter, da-da-da, da-da-da. So, hey, Nick, so I didn't want to miss the 1 o'clock because I was in school. So that's back then when VCRs, you could set a timer to record the ESPN. So I recorded, then I come home and watch that. But I got lucky, man. I got really lucky that I started doing parties. I started doing parties when I was 14 in Indiana. Guy named Iceman. Yeah. And the party scene got me into a radio scene. A guy named Sam Silk, and he just brought a different flavor. I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we really didn't. We had an urban station there, but we didn't have, like, flavor. It was just, like, not to knock none of my OGs, not to knock the BJ Steels and all that, but they didn't bring the flavor because they was kind of older. So Sam Silk came to Fort Wayne, came from Chicago to Fort Wayne, and I said, that's that. That's why if I can't do TV, I want to be Sam Silk. And I begged my mom to take me to the radio station. Weirdest start in the world. I begged her to take me to the radio station. She's like, I'm not bothering that man. I'm not about to get up there. So I begged my sister. My sister took me to the radio station, Foxy 107.9. They had this big picture window, right? I was skinny back then, Nick. Skinny. I was the hottest guy in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm 15 years old. I knock on the picture window. Somebody looks out the window. I'm like, yo. So he opens the door. It's Sam Silk. Like, this is when I was a fan. Like, I was a – that's when we actually had fans, bro. Right. Like, it was like I was a damn fan.
Right.
I listened to the show. I called into the show. I participated with all the games. He opened the door. I'm like, holy shit, it's Sam Silk. And I said, man, I throw parties around here. I just want to know if you need any help on your show. It's like, man, this is when we had house phones. Like, let me get your number. If I need some help, I'll call you.
Leave it on the answer machine.
Boy, lo and behold, I'm going to cut this story a little short. I don't know how long we have.
No, you have as much time as you want.
Sounds like a plan. So Silk calls, Sam Silk calls, and I'm like, yo. The call letter was WJFX. WJFX is calling you. This back when you got caller ID, bro. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Like, yo. I answered. Then he said, do you have access to a cell phone? And this is in 96. Nobody had fucking cell phones but my granddaddy. I go, I said, my granddaddy got a bag phone. It was a big phone. When it was $3 a minute. So I go beg, bro, I go beg my granddad to let me use his phone. And he wanted me to do street hits because he was from Chicago. He really didn't know the streets. I did parties. I'm 15 years old. I did parties. So I'm connected to the streets.
Right.
So this is no bullshit. Anybody watching this in Fort Wayne, Indiana, when I used to go out on the streets, we got 400 cars lining up. It's the Sam Silk bass check. We used to call it the bass check, Nick. And I'm talking about 400 to 500 cars on Anthony McKinney, this neighborhood on the south side of Fort Wayne. It's crazy. It got so crazy. My sister's a detective. She's a police. She's a regular officer then. They shut it down. It was so crazy. My own sister shut my shit down. Yeah. Shout out to Detective Kyrie Woods.
There you go.
To fast forward the story, like this shit went goes. It was so crazy. So then he let me come in the studio to answer the phones. You know, you always had a producer. Hey, Sam Silk Show, what you need? Blah, blah, blah. So I'm the producer. And here comes my big break in radio. 1997, Silk goes take a vacation day or left or something. And the program director, Michelle Price, said, I want you to do Sam's show, but you can't talk. Can't talk. I said, all right. He voice tracked this when it got carts. He voice tracked on carts.
Carts.
Yeah. So I'm feeding the first one I feed the break, the cart gets stuck. It gets stuck. So I try to rewind the cart. I'm like, shit, this is my only break. The next break, I open the mic up. And she told me not to talk. That's my only rule, Nick, is not to talk. Play Silk voice tracks. This is before computers. This carts. Play Silk voice tracks and play the music. Nope. Woody opened the damn mic up. I opened the mic up. I had fun, Nick. I'm talking about it was fired up. Long story short, I'm sorry.
Apologize. This is great.
Michelle calls me in the office. I'm like, shit, it's a wrap.
It's over.
She said, what did I tell you to do? I said, I'm sorry, Miss Michelle, but the cart got stuck and the tracks wasn't, you know, playing. I couldn't play them. She's like, well, I told you not to talk this, but you did a hell of a job. You want an overnight job?
There it is.
Yeah, I don't even know what overnight is. Bro, I'm 17. She's like, I'm going to have you work from midnight to 6 in the morning. And I said, Michelle, you know I'm 17. I got to go to school. She said, you want the job? Hell yeah, I want the job. So my day started at, like, I went to school at 8, but my day started around 11 p.m. for the whole day.
Wow.
For 2 years straight. Yeah, for 2 years straight. It was crazy, but best experience.
Your mom was cool with that? Like, she didn't get all upset?
No, I was responsible, man. I was the guy. Sure. I wasn't on no bullshit, bro. I had some partners on that bull jive, but I was responsible because she knew now I'm in my dream. I literally used to record over my sister's and mom tapes of me being a sports broadcaster playing Tecmo Bowl. There go Bo Jackson down the right sideline. Bo Jackson cuts back. Bo Jackson touchdown. So my mom went to go play her tapes, Nick. It ain't goddamn Diana Ross. It's me calling a Tecmo Bowl game, bro. This is a true story, man. Everything checks out.
That's great.
I ain't bullshitting,
well,
you, man.
The reason I ask is there's no way my parents at 17, I was like, hey, I got an overnight job and then I'm going to high school. They'd have been like, no, that ain't happening. So that's the reason I ask. But my parents, I love them and they may watch this, but they were on the spectrum of my friends. They were on the stricter side of the spectrum.
No. My house was, my mom used to, if we going to have a little party or something, we coming over Woody house. Cause she know, they at the hood respecting me. and I respected the hood, so ain't no bull jive happening at my house. So she'd rather me being in control of the situation than I'm over somebody else's house and they're in control of the situation. They might be on that rowdy type of stuff. And my mom was a blessing, and my sister was the police, so ain't nobody really tripping.
So how did you and went, because I think you got to West Virginia right before me, how did you land in Charleston?
I got here in 2000. I had a program director named Weasel. And this after I took over the night show. I got the number one night show. I'm 18. I'm throwing all the parties. And I really thought I knew more than my program director. And I feel bad. Weasel was just trying to teach me. I've been doing this with this app. I'm sorry, Foxy got bought out by a station. Foxy was Urban. It got bought out by Russell Aces, which became a rhythmic station, and we changed it to Hot 107.9. So they brought Michelle got fired. All my people got fired. Only person they kept was me and the morning guy. So Weasel came in, and he know my flavor. He know I'm hot. It is what it is. But I thought, trying to control me, but he was just trying to teach me. Right. And now looking back 22 years, 23 years from now, I'm like, yo, dog was just trying to teach me. But I'm like, I thought I knew everything. Long story short, I thought I knew everything. And me and him got in a beef. I'm like, yo, he brought another guy on my show. And just to be transparent, I think they was trying to push me out. He brought a guy on my show named Randy Alomar. Then Randy, now this is a night show. This is not a morning show. My rating's good. Everything's good. And I'm like, why are you bringing somebody on my show? Mm-hmm. So I think they was wanting me to train him up to eventually push me out. So I sent a tape across the street. This before I knew anything about non-competes and all that shit. So one day they make me, I never had a non-compete until the ratings was there. So one day they make me come in and sign this contract. I'm 18 years old. I'm like, all right, y'all giving me a raise, blah, blah, blah. I'm signing it. It was a non-compete, but I don't know what I signed. I signed a bitch and keep it moving.
Yeah.
And about 6 months later, it come to bite me in the ass because I thought I was going to go across the street. Now they put another Urban in the market, and I'm the hottest guy. I'm mad at my PD. I'm upset. I'm not really happy coming to work. I'm like, shit, I'm about to go to Wild 96.3. So they call me in the office, and they do all this, and I'm like, well, I'm leaving anyways. Whatever y'all want to talk about, I'm out. I got a job across the street. I go over there across the street, Wild 96.3, and Russell Ace is the owner of Hot 107.9. He calls them and say, we got a non-compete. So I actually had to go in a lawsuit. I went in a lawsuit.
Oh, wow.
I won. Because Indiana is a right-to-work state, but in the middle of that, I didn't have a job. I was just DJing in the club. And mind you, I'm 18 DJing in the 21 and up club. I'm DJing. Mm-hmm. You wonder why I got five kids. You know, I'm DJing. So I had to, I'm telling you, God honest, like I'm DJing in the club and I'm sending out tapes, bro. This is tape on All Access. You go to All Access, for jobs.
I got a funny story to that to come back to.
So I sent a tape out to Charleston, West Virginia. About 3 weeks later, Kid Conley calls me and says, shout out to Kid. Shout out to Bill Shahan. Shout out to Sexy Bill. So Kid Conley calls me and like, man, we love your audition tape. We want you to come. I never lived out of Indiana in my life. I'm 18. When I moved here, I'm sorry, I was 19 when I moved here in 99. I come and interview. It's Bill Shahan, Sean Banks, and Kid Conley. They take me to the Abachi on the west side.
Yeah.
So I go over there. This I'm telling my age. It's on the west side where the KFC is now. So I think fucking West Virginia is the best shit ever. Kid Conley takes me up South Hills, Nick. And you know, in South Hills at night, you look down, it's nothing but lights.
Yeah.
And I remember this. He said, man, you can own this town. I said, well, shit, let's own it.
Yeah.
So Me and my buddy Marcus Beecham, we drive back to Fort Wayne, Indiana. I take the job on the spot. Don't tell my mom. Don't tell my sister. I don't tell anybody. I get back home, and I said, Mom, I got a job in Charleston, West Virginia. Now, I'm a mama's boy. Now, this is my mom's my baby. She's like, oh, no, nah, you ain't about to go there. I ain't been there, and I ain't checked out the scenery. You know, black mamas, they different. They want to check out everything. I said, Mom, I already took the job. Like, I got to work. And I think she was upset with me, but she didn't show that to me. But being a parent now, and your son come and say, I'm out, I'm moving 400 miles away. And you're going to be like, damn, dog, you're not going to discuss this with me? I didn't discuss it with anybody. I moved here, I moved to Rocks, Atlanta, my guy. Listen to me, bro. The rent was $680 or $700. I was making $400. Like, no bullshit. So this I'm DJing on the streets to make shit ends meet. You know, I didn't do no research. Why the hell would I move into Rocks, Atlanta? And I'm making my salary when I moved here was $18,500 or something. It was unbelievable.
But you're now what, 24, 25 years in the game? Well, no, you said you were 97.
So 97. 26 years. So, yeah, long time, bro. It's and you see the change in it, man. When I came here, bro, we had a full morning show, midday, afternoon guy, and a night guy. Now it's me and a part timer, and you just see the change in radio. And my buddy Sam Silk, my mentor, told me this about 10 years ago. He said, bro, be on your P's and Q's because this is what he said, this shit don't shift. And I never understood what he was saying because now markets are just voice tracked. If people don't know what voice tracked is, I can, like Nick said, Nick can be in his drawers right now at his house, and you can hear him on 98.7 The Beat. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be, and 10 years from now, like podcasts are big. Like this platform on a podcast is huge. So you got to stay up with technology. You got to be one step ahead of what the curve going to be.
So the podcasting for me came out of COVID. I was sitting here in like March, April of 2020, bored to tears. I had about 50 some gigs, performances, you know, canceled because of COVID. And then watching all that money go down the drain, which you know, even thinking about it makes me sick.
It hurt.
It hurt bad. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, what am I going to do? So I had this idea to start a podcast with my DJ buddies. And I had EJ on. I had Akright on. I had all kinds of guys on, but here's the thing about DJ podcasts. Nobody listens to them. Like, why, I mean, there might be a few out there. I don't know. Maybe it was mine. I don't know. Maybe mine sucked. No one listened to mine. I'll put it that way. I don't know why, but so in 20, go ahead.
No. So they was actually DJing. Like it was like a set, like 20 minute set or what was it?
No. So in the podcast platform world, you can't do licensed music, right? So it was like you and I was just talking to them about their DJ career, how they started, what inspires them, maybe some tips and tricks of what they kind of do, how they learn, how they blend songs, just talking DJ shop, really. And I think the most listens I got on an episode was like 25.
Yeah, people don't give a fuck. I'm with you on that. People don't give a fuck about transitions, backspins, throw a record in there, catch it, play the right music, man, and keep going.
And we're back. The power went out on me. We're back. I'm sitting there talking. So to end my radio spiel, I love radio. I loved my time as a live jock. Now I enjoy kind of being the producing side and the being a podcaster. And I tell you what made me restart the podcast, I think is where I will go with that for my power went out, is I, in July, I had a few friends ask me like, hey, why'd you stop doing that podcast? And I'm like, oh, you actually listened.
The 25 that listened.
So I thought, you know what? I draw a lot of inspiration from Joe Rogan because he just has an open format podcast. There's no niche. He's not going after just DJs or cooking or true crime or news or anything like that. He just has cool people on, just hears their story and talks about them. And that's right up my lane. You know, I love hearing people's travel through this life and what they do and how they got there. And me and you have always had this linear path in friendship over the last 15 years or so. So that's why I had you on. And dude, my numbers went from like 10 to 100 to 1,000 to 5,000, now sometimes 10,000 streams. So
that's dope, you. Man. That's a testament to you too, Nick, man. You figured out, well, shit, damn, it's not working. Let me find out something that works. Because a lot of people would have gave up. A lot of people, when they say, well, this ain't working, I'm just going to give up. No, let's figure out how can we make it work. And that's a testimony to you and your research and getting back at it and going. Because if I swear, bro, so many people come to me like, man, I gave up on the idea. Like, why it didn't work? Yeah. Well, how long did you try it? Did you try this? Did you try that? Did you? It's just a lot of stuff that people, they'd rather give up than work their ass off than like, I'm not giving up. I'm going to make my shit work. Like,
Well, and you know this as a father, there's also that fire and that drive there that, you know, you have little ones that are looking up to you. And even take the financial aspect out of it, being a provider. You know, I want my daughter and my son to know, you know, daddy tried hard, tried his best, worked hard, and I made something of it through that. 100%. And I've had my failures. I've had my shortcomings. I've also had my successes. But through it all, like, I worked hard. And so I hope that, like you in your story, we can be examples to our children and the next generation.
And with that, Nick, not even our children, because we love our babies, so we going to do whatever. Yep. But it's a lot of outside people that we don't know that's watching us. And to go back to your story, like, yo, Nick, why you stop that podcast? And you'd be like, damn, I didn't even know you was listening. Just an outside Mickey Ficky that's in Kroger to say, hey, man, why did you stop that? I really enjoyed that. Man, I didn't know. Yeah. But once you figured it out, let's figure this thing out and run through the fucking wall, dog. Let's go. Yeah. Seriously, let's go.
So you as well have voiced opinions out there. Some of them have caused you a little burn. Other ones have not. I know you joke about ending up in Facebook jail a few times. So walk me through where you think we are now in terms of whether it be the presidency or maybe here in West Virginia, and things that you think we as a community or even for the African-American community that we could grow on and things you would like to see change and be better.
Well, one thing, Nick, like on some real gangster shit, just be you. And I hate politics. I hate the letter. I really dislike the letter next to a person name, because now you got to follow that party. Like, I'm an independent. Mm-hmm. I'm going to vote the way I got. This is no bullshit. I got Republican friends. I got Democrat friends. I got motherfuckers that don't vote. I got people that say this shit is rigged. I got politicians that I had 7 politicians at my house Sunday. Had a little party. All I want you to do is be real. Be yourself. And let me judge you off yourself. There's no way in hell, Nick, that you're going to agree with any leader all the way. I don't give a fuck who he is. I disagree with Barack millions of times. And I didn't agree. I have agreed with Trump millions of times. I disagreed. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. I don't play the Democrat Republican card. It's really that two party shit is bullshit to me, because like my mom, before me and my mom got in like real debates, because I love her, about just voting straight Democrat. How can you tell me, Mom, that everybody on that side is right? And now you got to see the other. It's somebody over here on this Republican side that's right. It's somebody on the independent card that's right. So let's do our homework, and then we can figure out who we vote for. And I think that's what I think we can have a better American. I wish we could put... Nick, I wish we could put all the president candidates or whatever we're going to do, if we're going to start at the top, all of them, mm-hmm. and we vote November 4th for the best one we think is going to happen, not we narrow it mm-hmm. down to two parties. Because I think that's bullshit. How the fuck can you tell me an independent can't run this country when they got the best ideas, but there's no way they're going to win? They're not going to win because they're not part of the two big parties. I had a partner tell me this. He said, man, I might have to switch parties. I said, for what? He's like, man, the way West Virginia vote, I might have to switch parties. I said, don't switch parties, man. Just tell your heart. You just go out and your campaign is your heart. You don't have to follow the rules of the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, the Independent mm-hmm. Party. Follow these rules. And I yeah. promise in 2022, people would pick up on heart rules instead of fucking, yeah. well, this party likes this. This party dislike that. Man, tell them what you like. Like you said, you can like guns. You can like abortions. You can like babies. You can like gay marriages. You can like you can like drinking Hennessy. You can like smoking weed. It's fucking America, and we should have a true free-thinking thought that a politician don't have to pick sides. Well, I can't talk about abortion because my party doesn't like it. Fuck your party. Talk about what you like. Yeah. And I promise, Nick, people will pick up on that and say, oh, he real or she real.
What scares me, and we started to see a little bit of it in Obama's time. And then it really escalated with Trump because Trump is Trump, right? I mean, the dude had to fight with everybody. And then now we even see it with Biden. Is it seems like there's this bully from the pulpit, if you will, bully from the microphone or Twitter or whatever they're using mentality. And there were some tweets that Trump sent out that was kind of bullying or speaking ill or chastising the Democrats and trying to rev up, you know, the right wing or the Republican voters. And then just in this midterm, we've seen Biden do the same thing. Saying and calling Republicans some very not nice things on Twitter and things, trying to stir up his side, you know. And the point I'm getting at is if we keep going down this road of division and separating one another, I don't know if we will be the last of us. And that's scary.
Hey, bro, it's going to be people that like, fuck this politician stuff. I'm not voting. It is what it is. And that sucks, especially for black people. Like, it sucks that how we had to go through all this shit, the vote, and now it's becoming a bullshit pissing. It's like who can pee the farthest, bro? State your stance, say what you're gonna do, and go. And no, like with the mayor race in Charleston. No disrespect to Mr. Lance Wolf. I thought Lance Wolf might have had some good ideas, but he never said them. He just talked about what Amy this, Amy that, bro. Tell me what you gonna do. Like, tell me what you're right. going to do in Charleston, not what Mayor Amy Goodwin not did or allegedly this. We all can read a newspaper. We can read this shit. And you're going to take your own values off of that. But it's becoming who can pee the farthest to me, man. And that's it's crazy. And
let me ask you this. You've always been a very influential figure, at least in my opinion, in the Charleston, and we can go broader, we can go West Virginia, but I think you have a really big impact in Charleston, in the African-American community here. So in your time, 22 years of being in Charleston now, what are some things that you are proud of and happy to have seen maybe get better for the community? And what are some things that you think need some attention that maybe could use some help?
What's awesome about it, I like the ownership of black people, the ownership with not only their business, their homes. I got a lot of people that look like me now investing in apartments and other stuff that they can spread out to the communities on the west side and the east end. It's beautiful to see my partners. I got a partner that owns 85 units in Charleston, and he looked like me. He was over my house Sunday, like literally.
That's awesome. And congrats to him.
Shout out to Fred, man. Shout out to Fred Tyson. Not only, and me and Fred talking because I learned from everybody, man. I learned from every situation. So me and Fred talking at the crib about, he's like, bro, I got stuff in Alabama, Tennessee. I got a lot of stuff that you will be amazed of. So I'm asking him, show me the way. Show me. I want two units. I got a buddy named David Kinney that's a mentor that works under, not works under Fred, but Fred was a mentor to him. David probably owned 30 units, and the ownership of black people in Charleston and West Virginia.
That's awesome.
Yeah, bro. Because I checked this stat out, and it's not a pat on my back, but I got trophies everywhere. But I think, Nick, in 1999 or 2000, I'm going to say 2000. I think I came here in 99, but I'm going to say 2000. I was the first black male, on an FM dial in the state. Now, in the state.
No way.
Check it out. Hey, listen, I check with all my white friends. Hey, listen, I don't know. I want somebody to listen. I didn't check with all my Hall of Famer radio friends, all my white friends, all my black friends. Now, we did have two females up in the Morgantown area and I think Clarksburg area that was on the FM dial before me. Now, we had 1490 here in Charleston. That's AM that they obviously had black DJs. But I think...
That's awesome.
It's awesome and sad, bro. Like it's a great thing and some sadness too. We talking about 1999, 2000, like a juvenile would say 99 to the 2000. Girl, you working with some back end, and y'all had no. Well, go ahead.
People think in their memory, oh, that went in the, that happened in the 60s and the 70s, whatever. Yeah. When in reality, a lot of these things happened just. I mean, in a not too distant past. So you're talking 2000. I mean, I graduated high school in 2001. So in my high school graduating year, you were becoming the first African American on an FM dial in Charleston.
No, no, no. That's just not Charleston.
Back then. Oh,
no,
West Virginia.
The state, bro. Not the
West Virginia.
Yeah, that's what really blew my mind. I got a partner named Larry Ledbetter. One second. What partner named Larry Ledbetter? He is doing the work for me. He's like, bruh, I can't find that. I was a black dude on TV, but I can't find no FM dial radio station that had a black host that was on full time. And I got here, I think I was April 99, but I think my stats in the computer say April 2000. They cheated me a year. Yep. But it's unbelievable where we came, especially with the hip-hop community now, the hip-hop community, bro, right now in Charleston and in West Virginia, the hip-hop community is crazy, man. These young boys out here making the best music they could possibly make. I play a lot on the radio now. And back then, it wasn't that good. And I got feedback of playing local music, this and that. Like, oh, you can't play that because it didn't test well, or it's not on media base, or it's not this. Bruh, I'm in the streets. I know what these young boys doing when I play it in the club and they rocking to this, they rocking to that. Now I got the freedom as they respect me being here 23 years, 22 years. That okay, what is your ear? You do what you do. And
that has to feel good to have that to create a freedom. I know my last station being a top 40, it was, you know, we got our music logs 2-3 sometimes in more days in advance than that. And it was all stuff that came down corporate that was, you know, through record labels and ASCAP, BMI, media base, everything. So there was no local music. There was no local bands or anything like that. And a little bit behind the curtain, we almost never took requests. I mean, almost never, ever. You'd call in and we'd record it and we'd bank it in a computer and we'd use it later. So the fact that you have the ability to put local artists and local music on is huge because you do not see that anymore.
And you don't. And that's why if anybody listened to or live in Charleston, we are 638. Maybe they say we 800 watt station. And we really don't fall out of the top five in ratings. That's unbelievable. And that's not because that's not because of me. That's not because of G. That's because the community says damn, this is a radio station for us. Now, when it was a bad hip hop, local hip hop, I didn't play this shit because I tell them we don't make stars, we play stars. Like, yo,
yeah,
I don't care how you can be a star in your living room with your little cousin, but if you can't pack out the club or if your music not there, I'm not playing it. And they used to say, well, what are you hating on me? This. No, your song is not good, bro. Go. it's what it is. It's some people that I loved that I never played their record. Like, bro, you just never made the record. But in the last 3 years, Nick, this local hip-hop scene in the state, man, been taking off. And they've been, these boys and even the young ladies, they've been going crazy with this music, man. This music is it's crazy, bro.
That's awesome. Now, what do you see in the future for Woody Woods?
I want to retire about 5 years, man. I want to make sure that I can leave this, like 98.7 The Beat is my baby. I thought Act Right was going to be my guy, but due to COVID, we had to let him go. And I tried to bring Act Right back, and he was like, man, I'm in love with teaching again. And Act Right just not my guy that we work with, my coworker. He's my brother. Like, he's my boy. Right. So, sure. So
I love Todd. He's a great guy.
Man, what? Like, yo, one of the best. He's one of the best. So I thought that was the guy I could pass the Jordan to. I'm hey, Todd, here you go. I pass this to you. Keep it running. But we haven't found that girl or guy to do that yet. And I'm not just going to lead this to anybody, man. If I got to work the 60 to make sure it's right, I'm going to work the 60. I don't want to do it. 5 years, I think I'm going to become sell some houses or build some property, whatever. But I got to make sure this thing is in the right hands because God gave me this thing in 1999 when I was 19 years old, and now I'm 43, and it's still running. Bullshit, Nick. I swear, I got so many stories. I had a guy that came in when I first got here. He's like, you know you're only going to be here for a year. I'm like, shit, and who I?
No, that. I think everyone hears that bull crap. That was said to me, too, once upon a time. But, you know, as we talk, not to shift gears, but do I have a memory, maybe about 10 years or so ago now, where on April Fool's, you guys did a skit that the beat was getting shut down?
100%. Oh, no, I got those. I read these. I'm glad you brought that. That's crazy. I read these things. We printed out the emails. They here.
Those are all emails that
we got with Mike Buxer. I got more. Hold on. Shout out to Leisha Lee. She did that. She did that without me knowing. Damn, what the hell is these things, bruh? We had
basically showing the community impact that you guys were having.
It was unbelievable. We did a stunt that said, shout out to Leisha Lee. Shout out to her.
Shout out to Leisha.
That we were shutting down a radio station, turning into the country. And, bro, we made up a fake email, MikeBuxer@gmail.com, whatever it might be. And it was unbelievable. I read some of these things, bro, to bring you back to reality. Because, you know, sometimes any job, you're like, man, I've been here too long. They don't like you no more. You old Woody's. Yeah. But then when you read something like, damn, people in this community really need this radio station because they never had one like it. It's the first. Hopefully it would never be the last. But when you read these stories or you see we do events, Trick or Beat or Backpack, when you have a person that was 7 that came and got a backpack 18 years ago, 16 years ago, now they're bringing their kids to get a backpack or come Trick or Beat, you're like, God damn, bro, this is really what it's about, man. it is, bro.
It is. That's amazing.
But we still got
that. I remember having that. Now, I remember because someone at our radio station heard it, and it was funny because we're all like, "It's April Fool's! Don't these people realize it's a stunt?" And then, I think I got off the air, and I turned you tuned in and turned 98.7 on, and you were talking, and you had phoners like lined up back to back, people calling in. just mad as hell. And I was like, damn it, Woody, that's good radio.
I was in the barber shop, and Mike Buxer, shout out to our old GM, he said, bro, we got to stop. It's people outside the radio station like come want to come and get him. Because the email was like Mike Buxer, WVRC at gmail.com. And everybody wanted to come in and talk to Mike. I'm at the barber shop. I'm not on the air yet. I said, Mike, we got to at least ride it out till I get on the air. Give me an hour, then I'll tell him April Fool. But he wanted to stop this thing about 11:30 in the morning, bro. It was a testimony.
They were coming to get him.
Oh, they was on Mike's head. They was on him. They was, Mr. Buxer couldn't even go to lunch that day. He could go to lunch.
Woody, I don't want to cut you off. I know you're on a battery backup here, so I know we have a limited amount of time. How much power you got left?
Hold on, I'm about to tell you. Hold on. I got this new damn laptop, bro. Hold on. Escape. How do I get out of this? I don't know, nigga. They usually give you a warning, right, when you at...
Yeah, I give you a warning. We're good. One last question I just thought of. Do you still do the karaoke where you sing country songs?
Of course. Tennessee whiskey and strawberry wine. Every
hold up. Hold up.
You got some instrumentals for me? Can I go with it? Okay.
Can you hear that?
Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You gonna sing?
Nah, you too good. Hey, Nick, you too good. I ain't gonna mess you up. Hey! Hold on, Nick! Hold on, I got one for you. I got one too. Hold on, Nick. Nick, you're the only one with a good talk. Hold on, Nick.
He took off running, Alice.
Hold on,
he took off running.
Hold on, let me get my guitar. Hold on,
yeah,
Nick.
Man.
Hold on, Nick. Hold on, Nick. Hey, what was you playing? Tennessee whiskey.
Tennessee whiskey.
Me too. I've been playing. I can't play this, man. This autographed by somebody. This is for the country station. Hey, Nick, this was in their station. This is in their station, man. I just went to go steal it, bro.
Nice. Hey, right, man, I played guitar my whole life. I love it.
That's awesome, bro. Yeah. Hey, Nick, good work, man. What you doing with the church, too, man? I'll be watching. I'll be following you, bro, man.
And real quick on that, I feel like I'm pushing all this content in before your computer dies on me. So everyone, if Woody just disappears, you know his computer died.
Hey, bro, it just came up. Your Mac will sleep soon unless you plug it into the outlet. That's what it just said. But
so real quick on the church thing, you know, I grew up in church, and when I hit 18, I wanted nothing to do with it. My dad was in the ministry; he was a preacher. For 22 years, I spent my life hating the church. I swore I'd never step foot in it again. This last Easter, I didn't know it then, but I know it now. The Lord was working on me to get my kids in church. My son didn't know the story of Christ and didn't know who Moses and all that. So same with my daughter. And so we went, and I was sitting in service Easter Sunday at Bible Center, and I felt the Lord say to me, "You've had your fun. Let's get to work." What I've loved about my time with the Bible Center and kind of restoring my faith is religion is not, it's not meant to be hard. You know, God and Jesus Christ did not come to this earth and to die for my sins, for me to follow and have faith in him, to be difficult, to be hard. And I feel like, and me and my dad have talked about this, so I'm not blasting him or anything, but, you know, I felt like the way I was taught of religion as a child was hard religion. It was, you know, everything was circumstantial. Everything you did, smoke a cigar, have a beer, whatever, that teetered your salvation. And that's just not reality, you know. So it's been a journey. And like you, you know, we're music nerds, we're audio nerds, we're production nerds. And, you know, when I started going to the church, naturally, like a moth to a light, I was attracted to the production team and to the worship team and to the guys running the soundboards and everything. And we all quickly became friends. And what led one day of me just saying, hey, I can help you run that camera if you need to. I can run a camera. So I was running a camera. To, hey, you guys need someone to run the board? So I ran the board. Hey, we're having a couple parties. Would you DJ for us? Absolutely. So I DJ for. Next thing I know, oh, you play guitar? Yeah. Why don't you come up play with us? So, it, you know, and it just organically happened. And it's been one of the best decisions I've done for me as a man, as a father, as a husband. But it's also been one of the best things that I've could have ever done for my family as a family, for all of us to grow together and be together. And plus, when you put your eyes on someone else other than yourself, it takes the a-hole out of you.
100%.
And I realized what a jerk I had been for some years, and the Lord still works on my heart, you know, to this day. I know one day I got to forget that gentleman we spoke, forgive that gentleman we spoke about that brought me down here at 22. But like there's an old gospel song that says, I'm just a work in progress.
You better say it, man. And Nick, you can see it, man. You really can see it on you, bro. I can see the glow in you. No bullseye, man. You really can see it. Most people don't see what other people see because they're them. But you can tell when you're a changed person, and I don't know how that church thing happened, but I listened to that podcast when you were talking about.
Oh, did you?
Oh, man. Growing up, and you had to go to church Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yep.
Boy, you tie your shoe wrong, God going to be mad at you. And all this, man. The God I serve, man, he's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. I don't know how that came about, but it did, and I think it put a glow back on you, bro, to say, man, I'm glowing. And you can tell when a person's glowing, man.
Well, I appreciate that. I do. It means a lot to me. And the only thing I can say is you're not seeing me glowing. You know, that's the Lord working in me.
Sir.
I can't take credit for that.
Yes, sir.
Hey. Go charge your stinking laptop.
It's new. It's brand new, bro. Hey, I didn't have Chrome on this laptop.
Hey, it's November. What do you say we look at, like, say, March, April? That'll give you time to maybe, like, if you're working on some new shows, some new content, some new DJs, things like that you're putting out there, we could talk about that type of stuff.
Anytime, bro. Anytime. And I make sure this laptop is charged up and you make sure your power don't go out. We'll be good.
Yeah. All right, Woody. Thank you, brother.
Hey, love you. Kiss your family, your daughter and your wife and your son, man. Tell them Uncle Woody love them, all right?
I will do that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. We'll be right back.